Dear listener, we accept the fact that you have to sacrifice a whole hour to listen to whatever it is we're about to do wrong, and what we will do is wrong. You see us the way you want to see us, in the simplest of terms, in the most convenient definitions, but we found out that each one of us is a brain.
An athlete.
A princess.
Does that answer your question? Sincerely yours, The Geek Movie Club.
Everybody, and welcome to Geek Movie Club episode number 7.
7.
7.
Wow.
My God, we got the 7.
7's your key number. 7 little chipmunks.
This is the podcast that actually managed to come back 2 weeks in a row. My name is David McVeigh.
My name's Richard Gray.
And I'm David Longo.
Hey, boys, how are you?
Hey.
Lucky number 7.
which is our featured pick of the week.
And the Australians wouldn't even know what that is because it got a different name when it was released in Australia.
What was it called here?
The Wrong Man.
That's right.
So there you go. So the film was actually renamed. This is going to be a slightly abbreviated version of the Geek Movie Club this week because we're going to retool the show. Why not? Issue 8 will retool the show. But
still in beta mode.
Absolutely, we're in beta mode. But we thought we should come back this week because there's a couple things we want to talk about. First of all,
yes, order of business from the last club meeting.
Absolutely. Richard, can you fill us in on the update for the, I think, first honorary member of the Geek Movie Club?
Yes, last week's minutes, it's noted that Christy Mack, notable porn star, adult film star, was offering an offer of a blowjob in return for the best Lego
God
creation.
God bless her.
Now, we covered this
and
extensively.
For the audience out there that doesn't know what that is.
Now, for those who don't know what that is, a blowjob. No.
it turns your skin alopecia.
Look it up on the internet, people. She has since gotten back to the internet on this one and says, unfortunately, Dave, because I know you've already started building your giant unicorn Lego.
So many yellow bricks from Lego.
You were recreating the Wizard of Oz in life-size Lego form. Yep. Unfortunately, Christy has now said via Twitter, the BJ competition is off due to lawyers not liking my Twitter content. I think it's because they didn't win the competition.
I think so.
sorry, fellas. Christy's no longer doing that. I think this is, my first reaction was... and I'm going to have to defer to the character of Malcolm Tucker from The Thick of It for what I think has happened here.
Oh, well, that's easy. Tucker's Law. If some cunt can fuck something up, that cunt will pick the worst possible time to fucking fuck it up because that cunt's a cunt. I've got that embroidered on a tea towel at home.
And I think we should remind people at this point that we do carry it.
So, yeah, unfortunately, there will be no oral sex for a Lego winner, which is unfortunate because I've just gotten the Simpsons Lego and it's going to take me days.
But does a pre-made set count?
Probably not.
I don't think so.
But it's good Lego.
Yeah.
And I think I deserve a blowjob at the end of it.
Do you reckon her lawyers were like, you do realize you get paid to do that?
Probably.
Yeah. You don't have to give it away.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
She confessed that she wanted to give it away. So.
She actually said her exact words were, I'm just a whore for Legos.
Oh, dear. Okay.
The other order...
Is that allegedly?
Actually, speaking of which, we got a bit of feedback about another order of business last week. We were talking about what we referred to as alleged fuckwit, Justin Bieber, and a good friend, Alessio D'Annunzio, another honorary club member, we think. Who also tweets as the movie Madman, said to us, oh my God, guys, well actually OMG guys, laughing so hard, tears are streaming down my face, quote unquote, alleged fuckwit, Justin Bieber, nice one. So
that was yours, I believe.
That's why I read that out. but I think much like we're all big fans of Hollywood Babylon, much the same way that they now always refer to fuck tape star Kim Kardashian, I think we all have to now refer to Justin Bieber whenever he comes up, which I hope it isn't very often, but as alleged fuckwit, Justin Bieber.
I think so. And seeing as we're talking about feedback at this point, we also mentioned while we were talking about Christy Mack that we were thinking about doing a porn show, if you remember. We did get some feedback on that from our friend Rogue Sire, who's been a listener and watcher from the days of the Tech Actually and Geek Actually. So Rogue Sire, fantastic for getting back to us. He says, hey guys, great show again as usual. Always love seeing a new episode pop up in my podcast, especially when I'm never quite sure when exactly they're going to pop up. Weekly, fortnightly, or monthly, we don't know either.
We got to listen to it before you.
And he says, so I think it would be awesome if you guys did Porn Actually Podcast. Well, at least as a segment in one of your other podcasts, it could be hilarious. It could fail. It will most likely be really awkward, but I'm up for anything twice. Look forward to seeing the pilot pop up in the Geek Actually Superfeed.
Well, we've thought about this a lot, I think. While we're thinking about it, we're probably just going to do a lot of research. We're going to watch a lot of the types of films we
maybe
might
sometimes
have to
several times over.
Over, yeah. Yeah.
The problem is, every time I think about it, I only get to think about it for 2 minutes, and then.
This is the problem, though. You know? It takes me several goes to watch a movie because I have to keep.
I almost snorted iced tea.
That's what that liquid that was spurting. Yeah, David suddenly spurted liquid forward, and that was iced tea.
Oh,
apparently.
Man, I didn't see that coming.
That's what he was saying, really.
Wasn't there a feedback once where it was like they laughed too much at their own jokes? Yeah,
pretty much. Do you know what? It's our show. Fuck you.
It's okay if we laugh at each other's jokes because we don't know what's coming.
Well, exactly. Yeah. To quote The Big Chill, where he says, fuck them if they can't take a joke. Yeah. Anyway, so we'll move on from there.
So yeah, that's until then, we'll just keep researching.
A lot of research. Yeah, a lot of research.
I'll be on the internet a bit.
Yeah, yeah. So I do like his idea, though, the idea of maybe making it a segment. In something else.
Yeah, possibly. Even if it was in this show, we just was dropping it. Not in behind the panels. I can't see that happening over there.
Well, we could do some Howard Chaikin.
A bit of Lost Girls. We'll do a Lost
Girls. Yeah, there you go. A little bit of Lost Girls. Hey, quite literally, though, I mean, the Geek Movie Club is an anything goes show. I mean, it is our clubhouse, after all.
And that's
We can basically do anything we want in here.
And unlike most clubhouses, girls are allowed.
Girls are allowed, and we do carry an explicit tag, so we can talk about anything. And I think if a big release came up... Now, when I say big release, let's not forget that something like Avatar...
I think that's what Dave was talking about. He was watching movies and a big release came up and had to stop.
I was thinking Avatar, the XXX porn parody, in 3D...
Well, we have
Blu-ray,
your TV out there.
There's times you go, this is kind of like you want to talk about when something like that shows up. I think porn parodies are fair game as well. I think, especially the Marvel and DC comics.
And in fact, if we end up doing something around it, it'll probably be those parodies. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's probably pretty much where we're going.
You know, if Stagnetti releases Pirates 3 or something.
Yeah, I mean, these are big budget, you know, whatever. You know, I mean, if we were doing this show, if there was an internet back then, back in the 80s, things like when Caligula came out, you know, it's like that
for
was. Sure. Yeah, because that was a big budget
Although
released
we are
in theater. We've got Infomaniac coming up.
That's true. And speaking of which, next week we're doing on Behind the Panels, we're doing Blue is the Warmest Color, which is very explicit.
It is indeed. So I don't know how we're going to do that with a clean tag. But
in the first 10 minutes, there's an erect penis in that. So that's, you know.
I'm very curious to know how we're going to get that worded around the clean tag. But
We'll be fine.
We'll be fine.
We'll be getting a little blue, but as we know, it is the warmest color.
No, you just say, you just preface everything with saying the Palme d'Or winning blue is the warmest color.
Yes, that's right.
And you get away with it.
No, it's French.
Yeah. That's right. So it's in a foreign language,
we get
therefore.
A free pass.
Yeah. Subtitles always give you a free pass.
But there's words like eroticism.
Now, speaking of slightly arty, we have a competition. So we should actually mention this. Our good friends at Mad Men Entertainment have made available to us 3 copies of Joss Whedon's Much Ado About Nothing. On DVD. Unfortunately, it hasn't come out on Blu-ray in Australia yet, but we have the DVDs of it. If you would like to win a copy of this...
What, my dear Lady Disdain, are you yet living?
Now you don't need a copy.
I'll just reenact it.
Next week on...
When I have such meat food defeated as Senor Benedict.
That's what we're retooling the show into, just like Shakespeare.
We're going to make this... We're going to make this open to the world, but be aware they are Region 4 DVDs.
Yes.
So if you don't have a Region 4 player, don't apply.
And I should say, you know this Man of Steel Blu-rays that we gave away and we announced the winners? I haven't put them in the post yet. So if you haven't received yours, it hasn't gone missing. I've been a slack bastard.
Oh, my God. I will get these out a lot faster than that. You'll probably get this out before.
This competition will be drawn and sent by the time I get my answer.
We're going to announce
Justice
the winner.
League will be out.
You have 1 week from the release of this show, which means that the winners will be announced not next episode, but the episode after.
Right.
Okay. So it'll close Wednesday, whatever that date is. I don't know what that date is. What's the date? Wednesday week.
Something like that.
Yeah, whatever. A Wednesday after this comes out. And to win, all you got to do is tell us or quote your favorite Joss Whedon line, whether it's from television or it is from movies or what have you, such as things like when Buffy said, I'm going now, tweet me if the Armageddon starts. text me if the... No. It was pagers.
Right.
It was page me if the Armageddon comes.
Wow, that's dating that show.
Yeah, it
now,
does.
It?
Page me if the Armageddon comes. So,
wow.
So your favorite Joss Whedon line from whatever medium you want. The winners will be drawn at random, so it doesn't really matter how clever it is, but the good ones we'll read on the show because I always love good Joss Whedon lines, and those could be yours. So thank you to Mad Men Entertainment.
Although, to be fair, he didn't write Much Ado About Nothing.
No, but this is adapted by.
Yeah, that's true. Some bloke named Billy Shakespeare.
Yeah, Billy Shakespeare. Now, speaking of movies, oh, that's right, it's a movie show.
Hey.
We talked about this on panels a little bit, but for those who don't listen to panels, and there are a few of you, you should all be listening to panels. We talked about casting news for Man of Steel. Now, we won't go over a great deal of detail because some of that's in panels, but Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor, yes or no?
Oh, well, that's easy. Tucker's Law, if some...
Now, can you explain to listeners who may not have seen that show what that comes from?
So that comes from the show. I think we did explain this. How it was Malcolm Tucker, Peter Capaldi's character from The Thick of It, who's a very, very volatile political advisor to the Prime Minister. So he's basically the spin doctor. The spin doctor. Jesse Eisenberg as Lex Luthor and Jeremy Irons as Alfred. So you've gone from a situation where I'm not going to bury another Batman to, you'll be the monkey's uncle. and Batman will go, come on, that's a bunch of horse shit.
He should be like a hologram.
Yeah. Oh, they'll probably do that.
Yeah.
Jor-El was and they'll have like dueling.
Oh, can you imagine?
Dueling holograms.
Jor-El versus.
All right. Well, speaking of competitions here. Apparently, Amy Adams has now suddenly come out and basically voiced her discontent.
She found out David O. Russell wasn't directing.
And she said, who's this snack guy?
I only appear in David O. Russell films at this point.
Apparently, she was saying, this was after
Jennifer
the
Lawrence.
Gal Gadot casting of Wonder
Gal
Woman.
Gadot, yeah.
She basically said what she really doesn't want the film to become is basically a bitching match between Wonder Woman and Lois Lane.
Fight.
Which
how hypocritical, though. I gotta say, because like Lois Lane in the Man of Steel wasn't exactly the strongest.
No, but what we should be building to is a relationship between her and Superman. And
what they're gonna do is they're gonna have a scene where Wonder Woman's in interrogation room. It's like, what does the W stand for? It's not a W on my planet. It means hope. Yeah, well, here it means W.
Or here it means
what
whore.
About?
So anyway,
wow, man!
I was going to make a lasso of truth joke there somehow.
I beat you to it. Right. No, the point is that she's basically saying, because if you read the New 52, which is where DC is focusing all their attention at the moment, Superman and Wonder Woman are in a relationship, and so basically, if Superman and Wonder Woman is there going to be a love triangle kind of happening in the new film? And basically, Amy Adams is saying this is not quite what she signed on for. But the other piece of information that we got over all this was a speculation. And I'm going to really highlight that by saying this is not fact. Mm-hmm. This is a rumor going around.
And it's all rumor at this point.
It's all rumor and speculation at this point. But one of the best rumors and speculations I've heard over the last week and a bit has been why Warner Brothers delayed the release. The rumor going around at the moment is that Warner Brothers is really unhappy with all the flack that Ben Affleck has been getting. You see what I did there?
I see what you did, yeah.
Basically, they're very concerned that this is going to hinder performance. Now, this is not saying that he's not going to do a great job or anything like that. Who knows? We don't know. We haven't seen him do it. But they're worried that the casting has caused a rift within the fan base. So there is also talk that his window of opportunity to make this film is very small because he's supposed to be going on to write and direct a new film. So one of the rumors going around is they delayed the release of this film so that Ben Affleck would have to drop out. They wouldn't be seen as firing him and he wouldn't be seen as quitting. He just wouldn't be available. And then they could recast him.
Yeah, I have heard this. Yeah,
now, this is a really interesting rumor and it really does hold water as a rumor because you sit there and go, this is a way they can all save face because there is no reason why they had to push this release.
No.
You know,
that's true.
So,
except to make way for the box office lock, which is Ant-Man.
Well, yeah, there is that. But so I thought that was very interesting. So I'd love to hear what people's thoughts are on all this. So feedback@geekmovieclub.com.
Or hit us up on Twitter at Geek Movie Club.
Or hit us on Twitter or Geek actually on Facebook.
So we do have a Twitter account. It's just Geek Movie Club.
I think they should wait 20 years because then Jesse Eisenberg will be old enough to play.
Oh, that's cold. Yeah. Now, can we go back in lore? Back to the days of early comic books. If we remember going way back to the golden age.
I remember the first issue coming out of Action Comics.
I was really looking forward to it. No, but
remember, late '30s, man, golden time until the war started.
If you remember, go back to your Superman history.
How cool was it? He jumped over a building
in a single bound.
Yeah, Superman and Lex Luthor are supposed to be around the same age because back in those days things were simpler. They played squash together. The reason why Lex Luthor hated Superman so much was because he blamed Superman for the loss of his hair.
So Smallville, right?
Smallville, small minds. What can I tell you? But so the casting of Jesse Eisenberg, age wise, probably actually kind of fits within.
It'll be interesting.
But Affleck's not like 12.
Neither is Jesse Eisenberg.
Well, that's the whole point. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
Look, let's get serious for a second. I think he's a really good casting choice. But
Affleck?
Eisenberg.
Oh, Eisenberg, okay.
Because, like, he's got the chops to perform a role like that, but he's just not the age enough. Let's take it one step further.
Like, with Man of Steel, look, the cast and all these things is excellent. We're talking about top A-grade actors here. The first one, we had Michael Shannon and Russell Crowe and Henry Cavill and Amy Adams. These are all top... Lawrence Fishburne. These are all top-flight actors given garbage script.
Yes.
You know, and that's, you can't do anything about that. I mean, there were moments of magnificence in that film.
Oh, the opening 10 minutes is brilliant.
I'd just watch a whole prequel set in Krypton based on that. And I reckon that's what they should do.
Yeah.
Give.
And the fight scenes are spectacular. Yeah. They're just so out of character.
But by the way, this is something that's been bugging me for a while. This is that the whole, this is where we need our sidebar thing.
Yeah, sidebar.
Sidebar. This is the fact that, you know, it gets increasingly weirder every time there's a Superman origin story. It's like, originally it was like, yeah, Jor-El, you're crazy. The planet's not going to fly apart. Now it's like there's volcanoes and things are shaking and whole buildings are fall over. And we go, we don't believe you that there's anything wrong, Jor-El.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, just realistically, people, you know, I know Snack directed this, but and those of you new to the show, Snack is our affectionate name for Zack Snack Snyder.
Zack Snyder.
Zack Snyder, or Snack, based on a time when I accidentally said his name was Snack.
And it's stuck ever since.
Hey, just quickly before we move on, just a little bit of movie news, kind of. This one just came in through Twitter. Actually came through the guy who hosts ABC Overnights on the weekend. Sent me this thing, and I kind of knew about it, but it just read it that they've announced the date early next year, 2015, the 30th anniversary of Back to the Future. There'll be a musical opening on the West End in London.
Oh, good Lord.
So according to this, Robert Zemeckis actually, I think, said that... Christopher Lloyd said that the production will include illusion, skateboarding and many other surprises that will capture the spirit of the film but freshly interpret for a new audience. Bob Gale commented, the Back to the Future musical is a project that Bob Zemeckis and I have been exploring for almost 10 years.
Wow.
So it better be better than the Spider-Man musical. That's all I can say. Well, hopefully Joy Taymor's not involved.
And let's hope they kill less cast members. So, you know, it's...
yeah, right. So, I mean, look, I'm in. I'll go to London and I'll see this because I'm a Back to the Future.
What would the songs be, do you reckon? You are my density.
And how would that go, Dave?
You are my density. what else?
What about
Mr. Sandman?
Mr. Sandman will be the back in
88 miles per hour.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
How fast we got to go? 88. I'm waiting for the tap dance number around. The whole ballroom thing. Oh, actually, there'll be a great. When he punches out, are you okay, Lorraine? You know, there'll be a whole dance number around that. It's like in him angsting over, can I, will I do it?
I don't know if I can take that kind of rejection.
Oh, it's going to be brilliant. I can't wait for this.
You built a time machine out of a DeLorean.
Oh, and the showstopper. How many is it? 1.21. 1.21 gigawatts. What's a gigawatt?
manure. I hate manure.
And the audience gets sprinkled with bits of manure as it happens. Anyway,
look. Robert Zemeckis, we're available.
we'll write this for you.
Totally,
if Mencken isn't available. No, if, you know, Andrew Lloyd Webber's not available, we'll...
Did you pause and like, no, Mencken is too esoteric. Yeah. I'll say Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Sorry, if Sondheim's not available, we'll do this. Anyway, I had to mention it because it's Back to the Future news. The other big 80s news that came out this week, just quickly, Lego announced that they're doing a Ghostbusters
Ecto-1!
Ecto-1 set with minifigs. How awesome's that? That's brilliant.
It's going to be fucking brilliant.
Which they desperately got out in time to for Christy Mack that she pulled the competition, I think. So.
Well, see, that person would have won, right?
Yeah, the Lego Kuso for Christy Mack's blowjob. 10,000 supporters and she'll blow you.
Is it official that Lego is the best thing ever yet? Or
I think it's been the best thing ever since the 70s.
Yeah.
It's ever since the introduction, because Lego was around before, but it was ever since the introduction of the minifig.
Check out, there's this thing floating around the net at the moment. Another sidebar.
Sidebar.
they people are putting up this ad, which was this little girl, little redhead girl in overalls playing with Lego, and it's basically talking about, you know, and just not acknowledging the fact that she's a girl, just acknowledge that Lego's great and it's just a girl playing with Lego. Because recently Lego's become is no longer gender neutral because they got the Lego Friends line, which they're marketing as the girl's toy,
which I find quite offensive.
Exactly, because it's making the assumption that the rest of the Lego, all the
is for boys.
The 95% of the rest of Lego is for boys.
All the cool Legos for boys.
You know, because of course there'd be no girls into Lord of the Rings or superheroes or anything like that. God forbid.
Or Harry Potter.
Or Harry Potter. Yeah, no, because I've never seen one girl.
No.
And wait till that Twilight Lego comes out. glows in the dark. But that ad campaign, I think it's from the 70s or 80s, it's a great example of how you market a gender-neutral toy to everyone, you know, and make it cool for everyone, and why Lego has been awesome for 40 years or something.
Absolutely.
You know? So... I think you're right, Dave. Lego, greatest thing ever.
I think right here on the show, we announced it officially. Lego, the coolest toy ever.
Yeah. it's an honorary member of our Geek Movie Club.
We expect that badged on the boxes. Geek Movie Club says, best toy ever.
Hey, David, while we're going through my favorite things, is it time to go through time and space?
Let's talk about what we've been watching.
I'm watching you, Wazowski. Always watching.
Just before you go into time and space, I'm just going to say what the only thing I've watched this week, because I've been a bit busy, I finally got around to watching Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters.
Yay.
I watched it on my nice 3D TV.
The slightly extended edition.
No, I actually watched the theatrical edition, because I watched the 3D version. The extended edition's not in 3D. Which is a bit sucky, but anyway. And I have avoided this film like the plague, because we walked into a JB and I picked it up and Richard almost slapped my hand when I tried to pick it up.
To be fair, I was slapping your hand a lot that day.
Well, that's true. And I've basically avoided the film and so forth, but I picked it up because it was on special. It was 20% off and it was in the 2 for $20 or something like that. So I picked it up and I had a look at it the other day and I enjoyed the hell out of this film. It's trash, don't get me wrong, all right? But I think from the moment in the opening scene, so we're talking about the first 2 minutes of the film, when she goes, "You'll let her go right now or I'll blow your sheriff's head over these fucking hillbillies." I went, I know exactly the kind of film I am watching at this point, you know?
What was the other movie you got in the 2 for 20?
Crap. What the
good film, that. Crap. The motion picture.
Despicable Me.
Despicable Me.
In 3D.
There you go. Well, of course it was 3D. Yeah. Those of you who haven't been paying attention, David's got a new 3D TV. So
I actually
all getting new cameras. It's that kind of month.
I picked up a bunch of new Blu-rays in 3D lately, so I had to think about which ones I picked up. So which ones were part of the special. But the special's over now, so...
It's JB Highfield. I'll have one next weekend, I'm sure.
Anyway, so that's what I watched this week, aside from watching Arrow, which was
magnificent this week. It's more of a squad. You know what we didn't really mention much last week, Dave, was True Detective.
Oh, yeah.
That's because you were waiting for me to watch it and I didn't get around to it. So go ahead.
So to hell with you. We're 3 episodes into, by the time the show goes out, we'll be 4 episodes into what is probably HBO's best show to date, I think, and
that's
one of the best. We'll see how it plays out to the end, which is a big call given that HBO have been doing the best television for the last 10
and
15
Game
years.
Of Thrones, so yeah.
Which is coming back very soon.
And the Sopranos.
And Deadwood.
Newsroom. And
True Blood Season 6.
True Blood.
You're missing out Sex and the City and Entourage.
Yeah.
I hated Entourage.
I hated Sex and the City. So
there you go.
I hated Sex and the City initially, but then I grew to like it because I think by the middle of it, they were having proper arcs and really good characters.
Anyway, I hated Entourage.
the True Detective is great because they're doing what they call micro seasons, 8 episodes per season. This is got an amazing director, Cary Funkenauer, mm-hmm. I think his name is. You know, top flight writers. The stars of this show are Bongos and Woody. It's Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson, Michelle Monaghan. Who else? Am I missing somebody there?
That's pretty much the core. Yeah, the core cast. Yeah.
You know, this is...
It's very focused. It's a needlepoint focus on those two characters, essentially.
Those two... And then they nail their characters.
Yes.
I mean, McConaughey's character is something else. It's kind of like, think, you know... No Country for Old Men blended with Twin Peaks or something, and you're halfway there.
Yeah. And it's still difficult to define it, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, with a little bit of pinpoint it. With a little bit of Silence of the Lambs thrown in or something like that.
And it's nihilistic, it's cynical, it's...
And that's just McConaughey's character.
And that's just the tip of it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And
I'm going to watch this week.
You have to.
Got
to
get around to watching it. I've got all of my Foxtel all saved.
From a writing, dialogue, character point of view, it's startling. And then you add on top some of the most magnificent cinematography.
Now, is HBO. Is there nudity?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Good. I think there is an HBO contract clause, yeah. Isn't it?
David, it's not nudity. It's HBO. the writer and creator is Nick Pizzolatto, who is known, I believe, for... did a couple of novels before this. This might be... his first original TV show, but has written, I think, all of the episodes. So he's got a very, very strong narrative going straight through it. My understanding is season 2 will be a different set of characters, mm-hmm. different creators, but that's how they're
doing it. They're doing an American Horror Story.
Yeah. But it's great. I really love it.
The director did a film called Sin Nombre, which I haven't seen. Mm. And he did that Jane Eyre that came out a couple years ago.
Yeah,
it was actually quite
Fassbender,
good.
Yeah.
You do realize that some people actually find that, because I've heard this criticism leveled against American Horror Story, where they actually have criticized that philosophy of changing the cast and the story and everything per season, because it allows them to get nominated in the Emmys in Best Miniseries or Best Limited Series rather than series. So that gets into a different level of competition.
Oh, Sequest did it first.
I don't think they did it intentionally.
No. So like, we had to give a shout out to that. So that's magnificent.
Can I mention Paranormal Activity, the marked ones?
Oh, you saw this?
Yeah, I watched this last night, actually.
Why?
There was nothing else on. We wanted to laugh, and we got it.
We wanted to laugh. Now, Dave, you are aware it's not actually a comedy, right?
It was mind-numbingly bad for an hour, and then it became hysterical.
Oh, really? That's not a good sign.
This is a spin-off, right, where it's set in Mexico, and it follows...
It's not found footage anymore, either.
It is still set. Yeah. They get like a camera at a party kind of thing.
Of course.
Yeah, but it's just it's just Mexicans, right, dealing with with ghosts. But then after an hour and 10 minutes into it, it takes a turn where they go to this house, right, where... I can't even say without laughing.
I'm just watching it slowly disintegrate in front of my eyes. It's hysterical.
I just lost it over Mexican. Okay.
So if you're a stereotypical Mexican, right, with a ghost problem, what do you do?
Who are you gonna call?
Le hombre.
This is
and the Ghostbusters.
This is blow by blow what happens.
Chrissy Mac said.
Let me get through this. Come on.
You're doing fine, Dave. They keep going.
They find a gang of Mexican criminals and they load up a car with shotguns and machine guns. Yeah, you're laughing just hearing about it, right? You should watch it. They blow away all these old witches like with shotgun blasts. It's like incredible. It's worth the...
I gotta go see spoil, this film.
Spoilers for Paranormal Activity.
Was it written by Cormac McCarthy? Is this like the council too?
All of a sudden, this is like these two gangsters like, let's do it.
Paranormal Activity, El Mariachi style.
Oh, we have to go see this.
We have to go see this, I think. So it bears no resemblance to the other ones.
Oh, it ties in at the end in a quite clever way, I got to say.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
It really does. But like, the series is a joke. So,
so would you recommend this film?
Yeah, I would, actually. It's like 70 minutes. Like
70 minutes? It's not even a feature film
technically
anymore.
Technically, that's a feature film because Dumbo made it at 60-something.
But it's so like, you know, there's Day of the Dead references all throughout it. It's just like... Like stereotypical to the extreme, they just eat tacos, and the acting is really bad. The whole movie is like, there's a ghost downstairs, man. Like, get down there, bro! Come on, you know, like it's just like Jesus.
What is this, Cheech and Chong?
It really is. We were joking about Cheech and Chong throughout the movie. We were saying those lines. We were like, Dave's not here, man. Like, all the way throughout it. Like, I don't know.
Oh, this sounds awesome. We're going to go see this, Richard.
Well, speaking of...
Can you save us at this point?
Yeah, I think... Why don't we go into time and space at this point? Yes, I bid farewell to a doctor last week.
Oh, you finished him.
And I finished off Tom Baker. Not literally finished off Tom Baker.
No, I believe he is still alive.
He's still with us. Yeah. But I have moved on to Peter Davison now, who was at the time the youngest doctor. It was a major shift because he was young. He was the star of All Creatures Great and Small at that stage. So most people...
He was a heartthrob.
Most people fell in love with him with his hand up a cow's backside at those points. But this is the cricket doctor who wears a stick of celery on his lapel.
Not many people can get away with
wearing a decorated vegetable. Yeah, I was about to say, David Tennant's infinitely put it. Infinitely. I don't know why I said infinitely there.
Because we're still reeling from Mexican.
I still haven't gotten over it. Dave's not here, man. but this is, look, the first couple of Davisons aren't very good. He gets really good towards the end of it. I've watched Castrovalva, the second one, which is Four to Doomsday, where he seems to be auditioning for Ant-Man because he's wearing a helmet throughout the whole thing. And then Kinder, when there's a giant snake god thing. It's very strange. Look, it's an odd period for Doctor Who because they've got these three kids who aren't great companions.
I remember those kids.
Terrible. There's Nissen and Tegan. There's Tegan and Nyssa. Tegan's great. She's the Australian one because they were trying to appeal more to Australian audiences at that stage.
Because we were huge fans.
We were one of the biggest non-British fans, I think, because obviously we got a lot of the same sense of humour.
We gave them Neighbours and they gave us Doctor Who.
I think we got the better deal. I think
so, yeah.
I think it's the same way, like, you know, in Britain you ended up either doing a bit part if you were a card-carrying actor. Anyone with an equity card ended up being either a bit player on Doctor Who or The Bill.
EastEnders.
Or EastEnders, yeah. Or Corrie.
and here it was Neighbours are Home and Away.
Exactly, so. Yeah. So, you know, it's an interesting era for them. They're trying some new things out. It's a lot darker under Jonathan Nathan Turner. And speaking of which, Peter Davison's in the country right now. He's been out here hosting these symphonic spectacular things in Melbourne and Brisbane.
Oh, okay.
And I'm probably going to try and get along to a signing he's doing at the ABC shop, I think, week after next, and about the 11th or 12th of February.
In Sydney?
In Sydney, yeah. Oh, okay. There's one in the CBD ABC shop and there's one in North Ryde. So I'm going to get along to one or both of those just to... I'm trying to get an interview, but I don't think that's going to happen. But at the very least, if I can meet one of the doctors, maybe that's my quest, to interview all the surviving
and
doctors.
And you want to get a recording of him saying, you're listening to the Geek Movie Club.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, have you guys ever met one of the doctors?
No. I've fingers crossed, I've got something with Matt Smith in the works, but don't want to promise anything. So... Mm-hmm. There you go, people who are bringing him out. I've promised my listeners, but can't disappoint them. that's where I'm at in time and space. So I think I'm going to whip through them pretty quickly at this point. And I've just given Mr. David Anthony Longo the first season of The New Who with Chris Eccleston. Because
that sounds like something out of Dr. Seuss. The New Who.
It's much better than Green Eggs and Ham. If you don't like that, I am Sam.
Sam, I am.
First season, Christopher Eccleston, who is now persona non grata, I think, at the BBC. But great season. Really hope you enjoy it because you've been watching thick of it because Capaldi's the next Doctor, and now you want to shotgun all that.
I want to get ready, but for August.
Yep. So that's.
It doesn't help when I'm here listening to you guys every week, just like, and then beyond the recording of the show, like how awesome it does.
I've actually heard on several different shows and online, people basically say, "Where is the jumping point for Doctor Who? If you're jumping into Doctor Who now, this is the jumping in point. You just start at the beginning of this modern incarnation. You don't need this modern incarnation of Who was designed so that if you had no previous Who experience at all, you can fall into it."
I mean, I'm doing my big Doctor Who from the beginning thing because I'm mad and I'm very goal-oriented because I'm slightly bipolar. So that's why I'm doing it. No, but I really wanted to go back and get this history of Doctor Who because I was really caught up in the 50th anniversary stuff and I'd watched all the new Who and I thought, you know, this is a really good time to go back and do this all. And I've somehow stuck to it. Ooh. And
I'm impressed. It's, I'm really impressed.
Because I'm just shy of 600 episodes or something at this point. So I've only got the end of Davison, Colin Baker, McCoy to go, and there's not that many of those. So there's, I think, as many in total of them as there were of all Tom Baker. Mm. So I should get through these in the next month or so. And then I'm on to New Who, which I've seen before, but I'm still going to watch them again. But I think I'm going to do some Paul McGann audio stuff in between. Right. Them, so
I did one of the animated ones, one of the Tenet animated ones.
Was that the... Yeah.
I forget what it was called. It was on Quick Flix and we were watching it. It's a bit stilted in the animation, but it's kind of fun having more Tenet.
Yeah, I think anything with more Tenet is...
More Tenet.
Right, so what do we do next?
What about Torchwood, Richard?
Torchwood is different. It's darker because they did two spin-offs from New Who. Torchwood, which is an anagram for Doctor Who, is...
I never occurred to me.
There you go. Torchwood is...
There are fans out there right now going, oh, duh, you super moron.
How did you not know that?
Totally... Not rad. Torchwood is darker. Look, the big draw card is, of course, Captain Jack.
Yeah.
In that, John Barrowman is fantastic.
Who is introduced in this season.
Okay.
Yeah, he's introduced that. And his the reason, like the big reason why he ends up going off and doing other things is the final episode of the season. Mm-hmm. Torchwood's good. It's more X-Files-y in a way.
A little bit, yeah. It's Creature of the Week.
They very much investigate stuff. It's set firmly in Wales. Stuff comes to them. They're sitting on a rift in time and space, so they're investigating stuff. The other spin-off, of course, is the Sarah Jane Adventures with the late, great Elizabeth Sladen, which is kind of the modern version of that K-9 clip I played last week.
But infinitely better.
Definitely better effects, better characters. Liz Sladen is wonderful in it. But Torchwood is worth watching. There's two full seasons and then two miniseries seasons, I think. They haven't continued on with that. People are wondering whether or not Captain Jack will come back into the main series, because my understanding is that the new kind of regime wants to kind of bring all of Who onto one flagship, so make everything part of the Doctor Who empire.
Yeah, this is all very much Russell T Davies thing as well.
The spin-offs and stuff.
And Torchwood was a Russell T Davies, and when he left the whole thing, basically, because he actually took Torchwood with him.
Mm.
His goal, I remember reading an article once, was he was going to try and make an American spin-off.
That's right.
Of Torchwood, and Barrowman would continue on.
And then they actually did bits of those last few seasons in the US.
Yeah,
I think,
but
so.
It never took off, and they couldn't.
No. But, I mean, look, it was that no one expected the new Who to do as well as it did.
No.
And so BBC milked it for all it was worth, and most of it's pretty good. There's some terrible episodes.
We also know they're milking for everything that's worth because the Blu-rays are so damn expensive.
Well, this is the thing. This is why I've ended up loaning. I'll just loan you all the copies so you don't have to fork any money out. But and didn't you say your goal is to do a season a week?
Yes, hopefully.
So let's try and hold you to that. Mm-hmm. Next week, we'll expect you to
I said to Richard before the show that I hope that he can bring season two next week.
I will bring you next week. Season two next week is your introduction to David Tennant.
Yes, which I can't wait. That's probably why I'll race through this.
Yeah, because Tennant, you know, I've said the line many times. As soon as you get to, well, that's weird, new teeth. Your life will change forever.
Absolutely. Agreed. Tennant was really most people's favourite.
The new Who. Although I really warmed to Matt Smith very quickly.
So did I, and
I'm already sold on Capaldi. Mm. So
Capaldi we haven't even seen him. So you know.
Yeah. Although I think we can now include Paul McGann as part of New Who as well, because he's old school Who and New Who. So
how many times can you say New Who?
New Who and John Hurt.
And John Hurt. Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
Wibbly wobbly, timey wimey.
We're going to wrap this up for this week, ladies and gentlemen. We did warn you it was going to be a slightly abbreviated version. Remember our competition, so get your entries in on that. Where can people find out more about you, David Longo?
DamnGoodCup.com or Twitter at Dave Longo.
Fantastic. Richard?
You can find me on Twitter at DVDBits or BehindThePanels.net or our other show, Behind the Panels.
Absolutely. You can find me at David McVeigh on Twitter or, of course, the home of this show at the moment, which is GeekActually.com. There is a GeekMovieClub.com, but it's not fully fledged yet, so don't bother going there at this point. But it is coming, and all feedback can be sent to feedback@geekmovieclub.com. That's it. That's all.
Oh.
I think session is closed. I think we'll close this meeting out and say...
Any other business?
I don't have any other business, do you?
No.
I've been staring at this picture of Christy Mack the entire time.
So you definitely have some other business.
I have some other business to go on to, but and because you have given us such a wonderful Who roundup, I think we're going to finish the show with the wonderful Onwards from the Matt Smith era. If you break Sad Hulk down, we're going to go out on this. Goodbye, everybody. Talk to you next week.